Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. Look at verse, Why is the Lord taking us, verse 3? No, let's go back to 2. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. They said, talking about the people, if only we had died in Egypt, or even here in this wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried away as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? See, we always want to go back when it gets hard going forward. You always want to revert back when you face opposition going forward. Why is that? Say, come on, talk back. It's familiar. It's comfortable. But would you rather die in your comfortableness? Would you rather die? So why do we want to go back instead of going forward when God has already... Listen. What you did not understand, I'm reading the book of Exodus. God said, I was reading today this morning, the angel of the Lord was ahead of the children of Israel, leading them. So if God is in front and he's not behind me, why do I want to go back when I have no covering? God got behind them when the Egyptians were coming after them while they were going through the Red Sea. That's when he moved from front to back to give them covering and kept a distance between them and the Egyptians. So why would you want to go back when God is forward? He's not back there. Touch your neighbor and say, he's not in the back. He's in the front. Oh, I got another instance. When the children of Israel, when Joshua came to lead the children of Israel, did not Joshua say, when you see the ark lifted up, follow it? It sounds like God was ahead again, right? He said, because you ain't never been this way before, so follow the ark, chase after it. He wasn't behind, he was where? So if God is in front, why do you want to go back? Because it's easy. It's comfortable. But check this out. They want us to go back to bondage? Well, the people were already being cruel to them, so you want to go back to a cruel relationship? Let's read on. Why is the Lord taking us into this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted against themselves. Let us choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. The two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothes, and they all said to the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people in the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. Listen. What did he say? They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me? Even after all the miraculous signs that I have done among them, I will disown them and destroy them with the plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are. Let's look at Numbers 11. Verses 1 through 3. You got it? Soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Did you hear that? What happened? They began to what? Complain about their what? And the Lord heard what? Touch your neighbor, said everything. Then the Lord's anger blazed out against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. Look at Exodus 15, 24. God has a problem with us murmuring and complaining. Exodus 15, 24. They came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. Now they're at the place of Marah. You got it? When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. See how people are quick to turn on you?
Yeah.
See how people are quick to turn on God? Now, God has already performed one miracle for them. He had already performed 10 miracles in Egypt, as if that's not good enough. Now, they have crossed the Red Sea. Now, y'all got to understand, this was a miracle. I know y'all seen Charlton Heston playing Moses and did the Hollywood effect, but I'm talking about before there was Hollywood, God is Hollywood. Before there was special effects, God did special effects, and they're only replicating what he already did. But I read the Bible say that a strong wind came and blew the waters and separated them. And because of the wind, the ground that should have been muddy. And you walking on dry ground and water standing up to let you through because you got clout with God. The thing that should have killed you is standing up for you, letting you through. Did y'all hear that? Y'all hear what I said? The thing that should have killed you is standing up for you and let you go through because you got clout with God. And then you got nerve to complain and talking about what I can't do and da 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 da. After God then let the water stand up before you, I can't hear about it, and let you pass through the waters, hallelujah. And you should have been stuck in the mud, but he allowed the ground to become as hard as rock, I can't hear about it, and let you walk through waters, I can't hear about it. And you telling me you still complaining after God has already worked the last miracle, and now you feel like he can't do this one little thing that you're going through right now? Touch your neighbor and say, shut your mouth and stop complaining and start murmuring and start praising God, because if he worked the last miracle, he sure enough can do this miracle that you need right now. So why are you complaining? Start praising.
Is anybody in here? Has God worked miracles for you? Hallelujah. And now you seem like you're in a rock, hallelujah, and a hard place, and it seems like God ain't answering. But touch your neighbor and say, if you just remember the last thing that he did, he's still the same God. If he was God back then, he's still the God, same God right now. Hallelujah. Got no reason to complain. Hallelujah. And God has been good to all of us. Hallelujah. God has been good to everybody in this room sitting on these little, hallelujah, these little chairs with this cushion on it. God has been good to everybody in this room. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Some of us stopped breathing last night. I can't hear nobody. While we were in a drunken stupor, I can't hear nobody sleep. I can't hear nobody say nothing right there. And he allowed, hallelujah, he did not allow our heart to stop beating. He did not allow the breath to start being circulating while we're wrapped up and tied up in these covers and sheets. I can hear about it. And the breath was still, hallelujah, in our bodies. Hallelujah. That what kind of God is like? It's like that. We lay down, as the old people say, in the image of death. I can hear about it. You didn't know you was going to wake up this morning. And the old people said in the Baptist church, it was God's finger of love that woke me up this morning. Why y'all not saying nothing? And the God, hallelujah, the God I serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Why am I murmuring and complaining as if God has left me a little orphan?
Did we read Exodus 15:24? I don't remember. Then the people complained and turned against Moses.
What we gonna drink?
They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Catch it. The Lord showed Moses a piece of wood. Moses threw the wood into the water. And this made the water good to drink. The wood represents the cross of Jesus Christ in New Testament. That if your life was bitter, I can't hear nobody say nothing. That if you look up to the cross and you accept the finished work of Christ on the cross, your life will turn from bitter to better. I can't hear nobody say nothing like that. Touch your neighbor and say, God will turn my life from bitter to better if I look up at the cross and receive the redemptive work of Christ of Jesus on the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Touch your neighbor and say, he'll turn it from bitter to better. Don't have no reason to complain when God can turn bitter to better. I'm just trying to explain to you. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring, because you actually tie the hand of God when you murmur and complain because you don't have faith. What you're really saying is, God, you're not able to do what I need you to do. And you just got to quote in that scripture, and God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or up. But it's according to the that worketh. Look at chapter 16, Exodus. I'm just trying to explain to you that complaining won't move the hand of God. The Bible says, Mark 11:23-24. It says, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe ye receive, and ye shall have it. It didn't say go into a pity party and God's going to move for you. He's not coming. He's not coming in a Honda. He's not coming in a Honda. God is not coming in a Honda. Y'all ain't heard what I'm saying. He's not coming in a bow tie either. What did I say? Exodus 16. Look at verse 2. Here they are again. God kept providing and providing. And every time they come up against some opposition, they start complaining. And I know y'all say, them Israelites should have gotten it by now. But you just like them. Don't be sitting up there throwing shade on the Israelites when you are just like the Israelites. It sure is quiet in here. You know you like the Israelites. Just nod your head and say, yes,
I have some symptoms. I have the traits of some Israelites. Yes, I do. Sometimes I forget what God has already done. Hallelujah. And then when I get up against the wall, my back is up against the wall, I act like he's not coming. And then I start murmuring and complaining. And then instead of me talking to God, I start talking to everybody else about my mountain. Instead of me talking directly to the mountain. I know y'all sang that Baptist song. And I know we sung it in the Baptist church, Zion Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. And we sung, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. And God ain't never told you to climb no mountain. He told you to speak to the mountain. And that's your problem now. And that's why you have not gotten up to the top. Hallelujah. And that's why you will never conquer that mountain. Because you're too busy climbing. Hallelujah. And your dumb self might fall off the cliff. Hallelujah. Trying to climb something you were supposed to speak to.
And all the while you climbing.
I just don't know why I ain't got no strength to climb. I just seem like I should have made it to the top by now and crossed over to the, you dummy, you supposed to speak to it. You speaking to everybody else and every other thing except what's in front of you.
Did I read it? No, I didn't read it. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin, Lord Jesus, between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron.
If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Now you speaking death on your dumb self.
They moaned. We sat around pots filled with meat. There y'all go with this meat stuff. Y'all acting just like these Israelites on this Daniel. Just want some meat. Just. Some of y'all can't wait, hallelujah, to Thursday morning. I bet the first thing y'all going to do is going to Whataburger or House or International House or Pancake or Cracker Barrel. I can't hear nobody. And just get all the meat you can. But you better not do it because it's going to tear all your insides up, hallelujah. And then you won't be able to come to the up and out to get up and out. Because it's been going coming down and out, and hallelujah. You ain't going to be able to come to church.
Some of you already got what you're going to eat on Thursday. I already got mine lined up, so I ain't lying. I'm just going to join with y'all. I told Mama Gannon Stephanie, I want some pancakes, hallelujah, Thursday morning. I want some pancakes, and I want some eggs, and I want some turkey sausage, and I'm good.
Don't y'all be looking at me with your funny eyes. I mean it. Can't wait for that syrup to hit that pancake.
And put that, but slide that little butter across that pancake. Can't hear nobody say nothing. Hallelujah. Oh, no, my son. He coming in the bow tie right there.
And if I don't get no pancakes, then I want me some rice. With pet milk.
Butter and sugar. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. That's country eating right there. Like I mean, y'all getting ready. Y'all foaming at the mouth. Come on.
Come on here. But how many people can really say that because, well, those of you that's doing it, because of no meat, my digestive system has been moving a little bit better. I still got the little munches, Jesus. But praise the Lord. I lost some weight. Yeah, I done put on some jeans the other day. Then they're just kind of fitted jeans. And then the fitted jeans have become loose jeans. I was like, Lord, come on here. Come on here. Come on here. Hallelujah. Relax. Somebody said, relax fit. Yeah, they relax fit. Amen. And so here we are. It said, well, at least we had meat
and ate all the bread. Look at y'all. Look, come on here, Israelites. Look at yourself in here. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. We had all the meat. We ate bread. All the bread we wanted. Lord, I tried. Let me, while I'm talking about bread, I tried some bread on this Daniel fast. That bread tastes like rocks. It's called Ezekiel bread. I mean, dry as the desert. Ain't got nothing. I mean, just all you eating is grain. I mean, you need a whole bucket of water after eating this Ezekiel bread. But it don't have all them preservatives and all that other kind of stuff. All right. And so he said, well, at least we ate all the meat and all the bread we wanted. But now you done brought us out into this wilderness to starve us to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much as they want, as they need for that day. As much as they need for that day. God says, I'm going to test them to see if they're going to obey. Because some people going to have, y'all know how y'all do at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. I can't buy that. Y'all bring your Tupperware plates already because you know you're going to take some leftover here. You ain't even asked. You ain't even let the other people get their first plate. Hallelujah. You are already packing up food to go with Lord have mercy. Let the other people eat first. And you didn't bring nothing. Mama Patricia said, and you didn't even bring nothing. Already got to go place, already made, hallelujah. And you took the last piece of chicken, and then somebody didn't get no, ain't Vanessa's chicken. Because you think this is going to be your last time you're going to eat. So you want to get all you can because you don't think there's going to be more. Greedy. He said, I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, they will have twice. God already said, you're going to have twice as much on the sixth day. Trust me for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a bread. It said, bread. This day to make provision. God, I trust you for this day that you're going to make every provision I need for this day. So they start complaining because they didn't have no food. What are some things that we complain about? I'm glad you asked. Wives complain about their husbands. I'm glad Stephanie gone, Jesus. She shouldn't have no complaints. Hey. Okay, all right. I thought you were being shady. Oh. Wives complain about their husbands. Husbands complain about. Well, I wish she would do this. Well, I wish he would do this. I don't know why you don't do this. And I wish you would do this. I wish you dressed like this. And I wish you wore your hair like this. And I don't know why you're not this size. Oh. But she was already that size when you got her. Now Sister Floozy at the workhouse with her two self floozing around you, making you complain about your 16 size woman when your 16 size woman has been good to you for 25 years. Oh, now you complaining because it's a problem. You're ungrateful. When, bottom line, she helped you get where you are with her 16 self. And if it wasn't for her helping you with your no good self, you wouldn't be where you are. And now she's not good enough. Now you want a two, hallelujah. But you didn't know that two used to be a man. But you want a dime piece. Go on and get your dime piece. Hope it works out for you. It sure got quiet up in here. I mean, it got real quiet. Got real quiet. What else we complaining about? We complain, and I got to raise my own hand, both my hands and feet. I said feet. I got to raise my hand and my feet because we complain about our jobs. Oh, I know I was going to get to everybody named mama in this one. Just tired of doing this job. Just giving them our all. And we complain about our job. We complain about our supervisors. And I just wish I had something better. Lord, and God said, your tail going to stay there until you learn to appreciate where you are. You start complaining and praising because guess what? It's somebody that don't have a job and can't even get a job and have been applying for jobs, and you got one that you ungrateful about, hallelujah, but at least you got money coming in every week, every month. I can't hear nobody say nothing, hallelujah. And there's some people homeless wish they had a job, and we're complaining about something somebody don't have. But then sometimes we'll allow situations to happen where he'll pluck the job, hallelujah. He'll pluck us away from the job because of our ungratefulness, hallelujah. And we, guess what? And we pray for the job that we're complaining about because wasn't nobody calling you at first. And you just took the first job that came your way. And God opened that door. And when you get on the job, stuff ain't working out like you wanted to. And now you're ready to quit. I don't want the job. I hate the job. I just don't like all the job. And God said, your tail go stay right there, hallelujah. If I want you to, or I'll take the job away from you, and then you won't have nothing. Nothing like ungrateful children. Have you ever bought something for your children and they never said thank you? Somebody said, I take it back. Oh, Jesus. You worked hard to get those children those Jordans that they wanted. And you missed some things just to get them so they could be happy. I can't hear about it. And then when they get them, the next day they tore up. So what I would do, I would take you to, I would go to Walmart. A Payless and tell Aunt Glenda, put some Ordens on there. Don't put the J, just put Ordens. Brother Paul, what you laughing? Let's see how grateful you're going to be with your Ordens. What you got? You missing the J. I know. I got my own brand called Ordens. My man. All right. We complain about our jobs. We complain about supervisors because they just being mean to us. When God may have put you on assignment so you could pray for your supervisor. And you don't know. God could be, he could have you in a tight position on that job to grow you up. But you don't like it. Ain't nobody saved. But you say you want to preach to the nation. There your nations are. He said, God is calling me to preach to the nations. All right, God said, I'm going to put you on the job. Ain't nobody saved. You the only like that. Now preach.
don't know why he got me on the job. All these unsafe folks, they just playing the music and shaking their fans and going on. And I don't know what to do. And I wish I had somebody to save around me. God ain't going to put nobody to save around you, because you got enough power on the inside to change a whole job. Hallelujah. You got enough power on the inside to influence everybody. Hallelujah. That coming your way. Hallelujah. When they start talking dirty and talking them dirty jokes like anybody, you ought to start saying, you know what? Jesus is showing up good. You ought to turn the conversation around. Remember, you're not a thermometer, you're a thermostat, and you control the environment. You're not bringing that mess in my cube. If you're going to come in this cube, we're talking about Jesus all day long. And then if you're really crazy, I'll start prophesying to you. And God will give me insight into your business. And then I'll make you cry and ball up like a little child. Oh, look. And you'll be shaking because of the word of the Lord coming to you.
Make them jokers fall out on the floor and cry like a little girl. Break them down with the word. And I heard the word of the Lord saying that when you were 7 years old, you was molested. Yeah. Learn how to work where you are. God has given you authority in the earth realm that wherever you are, you can transform it. If God can transform a whole city with 12 disciples back in the day, and we got more disciples now, we got I don't know how many millions of Christians in the world, and we still can't turn the city upside down. We just complain about what we see on the news. This world is going to hell with gasoline drawers on and gasoline t-shirts. They just so wicked. And I don't know, I'd be glad when Jesus come back. No, Jesus ain't coming back until we make the world, hallelujah, obey the principles and the things of God. I care about it. God, hallelujah. Y'all ain't saying nothing right there. We have the power to control this earth realm. Quit waiting for Jesus to come back and give you a pie in the sky. What else we complain about? Complain about church. Why they just let the same old people give somebody its chance? I can do that. I don't know why they put that wood floor up there. Why they don't take the carpet up? This carpet, you know, they can do a little better with the carpet. Why don't they paint or do something? Why don't you bring your tail up here? Why don't you, matter of fact, why don't you go to Home Depot and go get some paint, buy it out your money, I can't hear nobody, and quit giving the receipt back to the church, hallelujah. For a little $35, I can't hear nobody, and just say, here's a seed, I'm sowing it to the church. I'm buying the paint and I'm going to do this. If you're going to talk about it, be about it and do something about it. Don't bring me no problems if you don't already have a solution. Because what I'm going to do, and I believe the leadership and the ministers can attest to this, hallelujah, that if you bring me a problem, I'm going to make you give me a solution. Do I have any ministers in here that say, all right, because they brought me some things, and I said, now what you going to do? Because if you see it, fix it. If not, shut up. So don't complain, do something about it. It sure is quiet. And then you got to put your money where your mouth is. Charlene said, don't nobody want to hear that. Put your money where your mouth is. If you see a problem, put your money on it. Pretend like the church ain't got it and you do it. And God's going to bless you for beautifying his house. I ain't got no help in here. There are some things that I've bought in this church with my own money. I didn't ask the church to give me nothing because I knew they're not in a position to give it back to me. And so God has blessed me because I sold into his house. And maybe your house would be blessed if you just stop putting all the stuff in your house and put some in God's house.
Complain about your leaders. He too rough. He too mean. Well, go on to another church. Well, you have those passive pastors that will allow you to be in sin and allow you to function and operate in ministry in sin. But you're not going to do that here. I'm going to call your butt to the carpet. Because if I got to live in integrity, then everybody that's serving with me got to live in integrity. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. Because God ain't going to get me, hallelujah, for allowing you to be in dysfunction and operating it. We got enough of that in church already. Pastors out of order. Now, I don't know. Lord Jesus, Lord have mercy. I don't know if it was real or fake, but I saw something. And remember, I told y'all that God is exposing these pastors. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I saw an article on Facebook that one of my Facebook friends shared. Well, this man, this pastor, everybody say pastor. Somehow, I don't know how you somehow accidentally post a picture, two pictures. I don't know how you accidentally post a picture and you married with a church of you kissing your male lover. In the bed, shirts off. Yeah. What'd I tell you? Didn't I say God was getting ready to expose these preachers, hallelujah, that's living foul? You married and you got a boyfriend. How do you accidentally upload two pictures? Mama, again, how you upload two pictures accidentally? But Aunt Glenda said, God made you expose your own self. Yeah. Now, when I did this radio interview Tuesday on KEBN, I don't know if I said it Wednesday night, but I'm going to say it again. You got to be careful how you live. You got to be careful what you post. Radio, the disc jockey, is also a journalist. And he's been following me for a while. That man had done all his research on me. He knew I used to sing with God's Property. I didn't think nobody knew that. I said, well, how do you see it? He said, well, you was at the reunion, you was on stage. I said, he said, you've been playing for a long time. He said, you've been preaching, and I see how y'all transforming the church. See, even when you think people not watching, people are watching you like a hawk. So you got to be careful what you post. And now some of y'all can't get no jobs because you sound schizophrenic. You sound schizophrenic on social media. And the jobs are looking at your post to determine if they even want to hire you for a job by what you post. No wonder you can't get no job. One minute you're going off on everybody cussing. One minute you're quoting scriptures. One minute you're posting nasty stuff. And one minute you're posting a Bible scripture talking about sheriff, you love Jesus, hallelujah. Then the next minute, hallelujah, you got a drink in your hand. I can't abide it. And then you at the club dropping it like it's hot, hallelujah. And then you start complaining because you can't get no job. Clean up your social media. You're complaining about your leaders. And guess what? When you put your mouth on your leaders, you get in trouble with God. It's dangerous to put your mouth on your leader. Let me say it again. It's dangerous to put your mouth. You may not agree with everything that I do. Hallelujah. That's not for you. Hallelujah. Your job is to pray for me. Hallelujah. Your job is not to judge me and condemn me because you don't like decisions that I make. I can't hear nobody say that. Your job is to pray. You're not going to like everything I do. You don't like everything your children do. You don't like everything they do on your job, but you just go along with it, don't you? You don't go up to your boss and say, I don't like what you did. Your boss be like, really? Well, I'll tell you what. HR, I need you to escort somebody off the premises. Everything that you don't like don't need to be voiced. Something needs to be voiced in prayer. I just helped the whole church right there. Never put your mouth on the leadership. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you got to realize and understand, you're going to need that leader to pray for you regarding something. And God ain't going to forget. I know this bad grammar. God ain't going to forget what you have said about your leader. And then God may not answer that leader's prayer because you have put your mouth on the leader. Did y'all hear that? Maybe some of your prayers have been hindered now because you put your mouth on your leader. And some of you need to repent for putting your mouth on leadership. You are supposed to pray for all of those who are in authority. That's your job. We don't like everything President Trump is doing. But our job is not to judge him. Our job is to pray. And then maybe if we have enough prayers for President Trump, I can't hear anybody, God could do something. But if all the Christian folks are murmuring and complaining, God said, my hands are tied. I can't do nothing. I ain't got enough people praying. I got more people talking about him than praying. Do y'all know prayer can shift things? No. Do you know when people get on one accord, things happen in the spirit realm and in the natural realm? Come on here, Peter. I can't hear nobody. When Peter was locked in jail and the church began to pray, did y'all not hear that? They weren't complaining about what was going on. They start praying about something that they wanted. And when the church was on one accord and praying, then an angel came all the way from heaven to the earth realm. I can't hear nobody. And got Peter out of jail. I can't hear nobody. And opened the gates. I can't hear nobody. And Peter came to the house where the saints were praying. I can't hear nobody say nothing. They were not complaining. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I just don't know what we're going to do. They're going to kill Peter. They're going to kill Peter. We're going to have no power in the church. We're just going, no. Turn your complaints into prayer.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.